Well, like many of you, I'm sure, our family has had a tradition over the years of going to look at Christmas lights, especially when the kids were younger. We enjoy seeing how dedicated some people are to the Christmas lights at their house. People spend a lot of time, a lot of energy, probably a lot of money, a lot of electricity to make their house shine brightly. And so there were several years when our kids were younger, we'd drive around town, and each of our kids would have a little certificate that would say Best Christmas Lights, and they would award it to one house. So we got the joy of kind of going up to a random person's house and knocking on the door and saying, congratulations, my kid has awarded you Best Christmas Lights in town. Now, you'd be surprised how deeply honored people were by this. People took great pride in it. And so we love seeing all the different Christmas lights that people put up. So a few years ago, I thought, you know, what is the most impressive display of Christmas lights at a house in the entire country? And so I found it. It is a couple hours north of New York. It is of New York City. It's at a house owned by a man named Tim Gay. Starting in 2012, he put up this light display. He has the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest residential display of Christmas lights in the country. 720,000 bulbs. Here's a picture of this man's house, which, by the way, that says hashtag top that, not stop that. It took me a minute to figure that out. But this is enormous. So this is this guy's house and his property. I don't know how long he spends putting all of this together, but I'm sure he has to begin months in advance. Now, it's pretty to look at on the screen, but I will tell you, it's a little bit polarizing for those who live near it. Because if you live near it, you either love it or you hate it. You either think it's great that there's so much festivity and such beautiful lights lighting up our area for Christmas, or you think, I don't need any more light. This is too much. And in fact, there have been people, there's one guy that is running for city council this year to try to, you know, put a lid on this guy's Christmas lights because it's too much. The light is polarizing. Now, I share that because earlier, just a few minutes ago, we heard from John chapter 1 how Jesus is not only the Word made flesh, right? He's God's communication to us, God's perfect Word made flesh, but he's also the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, we read, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So Jesus is born on that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus is born, he shines God's light into our darkness, right? So Jesus is born to shine the light of God into the darkness of our world. But here's the deal. Christ's light is polarizing. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people receive it. Some people avoid it. And as I read through the scriptures, what distinguishes those who receive the light of Christ, who rejoice in the light of Christ, from those who avoid it and reject it and oppose it, what distinguishes these two groups is quite often whether or not a person thinks they need light. Because if you think your life is just fine without the light of God, you're not going to want the light of Jesus. So there may be some of you in this room that is your situation. You say, look, I'm really okay, right? I don't know everybody in this room. You may come in and you say, look, yes, there's grief in the world. Yes, I'm not perfect. Yes, the world seems kind of messed up, but I really think that I can make my own way in the world. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. I don't need God's light. But then I know that there are others in the room that you're here this morning deeply aware that the world is dark, that there is grief in your heart right now at this season, maybe because death entered into your world and entered into your family, and you grieve. Or maybe you recognize that the darkness is in you, the things you say, the things you do, the ways that you act seem contrary with who you actually want to be and who you know that you should be. And so you know that there's darkness in you. And so you may be a person in the room, you say, now I need light. And some of you know that Jesus came to shine that light into our world. Others of you, you may say, I need light, but I don't know where to find light. I don't know how to know God. I don't know how to get to him. I don't know how to remove the darkness that's in my soul and the darkness that's in this world and to have hope that light will prevail over darkness. If anything, Christmas ought to offer us hope that the light of God will prevail over darkness. That's what we see in John chapter 1, that Jesus came as the light of the world. And I want to show us for a few minutes this morning three things that Jesus does as the light of the world that I think are going to make our Christmas so much more joyful than if we didn't know these things. All right, so I want us to look at John 1, 1 through 5, and then we're going to also look for a moment at verses 9 through 11. Let me read it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And down in verse 9, there was the true light, that's Jesus, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus comes as the light of the world. First of all, he comes to destroy the darkness. He comes to destroy the darkness. I love verse 5. It says that he's the light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't overcome it or comprehend it or grasp it. It's a really hard word actually there to translate, but the idea is that the darkness doesn't really know what to do with the light. Earlier this week, I thought briefly that it would be fun as an illustration to have them shut out all the lights in this room so that we could get a sense of what darkness feels like. But then I thought it would be terror-inducing at a level that I don't want to risk on a Sunday morning. If you're in darkness, you're probably going to be afraid. And in fact, they've done studies where people who are in darkness too long, absolute darkness, they lose track of time, they lose track of their lives, they lose purpose, they get depressed, and they become afraid. But here's the beautiful thing. Just a little bit of light destroys darkness. I read a story several years ago about a father and his sons who went to explore a cave. This was about 30 years ago, 1990. They got lost. They eventually ran out of food. They ran out of water. Their flashlights and their headlamps lost battery. And so they were stuck in this cave in absolute darkness for days. I think it was like 8 days on end. And then they were found and they were rescued. And I remember this father, he said, when the rescuers came into our area of the cave with just their flashlights, he said, after being in such darkness for so long, their flashlights felt as bright as the headlights of a car. It was overwhelming. Just a little bit of light utterly destroyed the darkness. And so John says Jesus is the light that comes into the darkness of the world. And as you read through the book of John and as you read through the scripture, what is the darkness of our world? Well, the darkness of our world is, first of all, our sin, our rebellion against God, our desire to pursue our own path instead of God's path. And that leads to all kinds of darkness and evil, greed and anger and violence and lust and pride and division, and all of these sins that we struggle with, right? And so there's this darkness in our soul, and this darkness in our soul leads to darkness in the world, the grief of death, and eventually separation from God. That's darkness. And yet John says Jesus came into the world to shine his light, and the darkness can't defeat the light of Jesus Christ. If you were with us last week, some of you were, when we talked about Luke 2, you remember that in Luke 2, the shepherds, they're out in the fields watching their flocks on a dark night. And all of a sudden, the glory, the brightness, the grandeur of God shines all around them, and the angels begin to speak to them. And the angels are so impressive and so bright, the shepherds are terrified. And here's what John tells us. Compared to the brightness of those angels, the brightness of Jesus is infinitely greater. And so it's not just a little light that Jesus brings into the world. It is light that destroys our darkness. And so we know Jesus enters the world fully God, fully man. That baby in a manger is the light of God. And we know he doesn't stay a baby in a manger, but he grew to be a man who perfectly represented God's perfect character. And he destroyed our darkness. How? Well, he died in our place. He took our death on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated all the darkness so that we can now walk in the light. So the light of Jesus destroys the darkness. And then John is going to go on. He's going to tell us now that he destroys the darkness, what he does is he reveals to us what is true. If you look again at verses 4 and 5, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And then in verse 9, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Jesus comes not only to destroy sin and destroy death, but actually to illuminate for us who we are, who God is, and how we can get to him. And quite often, in order to understand what is true, we have to have this light shine on the darkness of our lives and begin to drive out the darkness so that we can see the truth. And so as you move throughout the rest of the New Testament, this imagery of light and darkness is so prominent when the writers of the New Testament talk about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So if you look at a passage like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The God who spoke light from darkness now has shown his light into our hearts. Why? So we can know the truth about who God is, about his character, about his glory. And we see that truth when we read about Jesus. Jesus' perfect character, Jesus' perfect love, Jesus' perfect glory. So the light of Jesus Christ shows us who God is. The light of Jesus Christ shows us who we are. Ephesians chapter 5, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Here's what Jesus does. That baby born in a manger not only comes to drive away sin and death, but now he shows you and me who you are. Your need for forgiveness. Your need for restoration. Your need to know God and to be restored to God. He shows us what is true. But in order to show us what is true, he has to shine a light on the parts of our hearts and our lives that often we would rather not see. The darkness and the sin and the rebellion that we have often initiated against God. Yeah, I was thinking this week, some of you I know, you've got family coming in today, tomorrow, this week. Some of you, your family's already here. And before the family comes at Christmas, you often clean the house, right? You do the dishes, you sweep the floors, you mop, you do all those things so that when the family comes, you present that our house is a clean place, right? But there's another strategy I suppose you could employ when your family comes over. Instead of cleaning the house, you could just keep the lights low, right? Then they won't see the mess. Then they won't know how dark and dirty your house is. Now, of course, the problem is it's still dirty. It still hasn't been cleaned. The problem still exists. And John says Jesus came to shine a light on you and me so that we can accurately understand who we are, that we need cleansing. We need restoration. We need forgiveness. And what Jesus did then is he illuminates for us the pathway to get from where we are back to a relationship with God. And that pathway is straight through Jesus himself, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Nobody can know God apart from following the light of Jesus Christ. That means you believe that Jesus Christ, who died in our place and who rose from the dead, is the only way to know God, the only way to have eternal life. That's why Jesus came. Isaiah chapter 9, this prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus came for those who were mired in darkness, those of us who were lost. And as I said before, often the distinction in Scripture between those who receive the light of Jesus and get the hope of eternal life and those who don't is simply whether or not you know that apart from him, you're in darkness. And Jesus came to reveal to us the light. The first step in trusting Jesus and knowing him is to acknowledge you need him. That Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, fully God and fully man, came from heaven to earth so that we could know God. He died on the cross, a terrible death, in our place to take the death that we deserved and rose from the dead so that we could have life. To lead us out of darkness into light, to reveal to us the truth, show us who we are, show us who God is. And the good news is, not only does the light reveal the truth, but the light shines on everyone. So that Jesus came to let us know, every single person who receives God's light can know that you're restored to God, you have a relationship with God, you have eternal life, and you have a hope that will never die, that one day you will live in the presence of the glory of the light of God forever and ever. So verse 9 says that there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. It shines on every person. What that means really simply is Jesus is for everybody. Whether you're rich or poor, whatever your race or ethnicity is, whether you're significant in the eyes of the world or insignificant, whether you're irreligious or deeply religious, young or old, male or female, no matter who you are, Jesus came for you. And the light shines on everybody in the world. And the great news about the magnitude of the light that Jesus has shown into the world is that there is more than enough light to go around. Those of us who live in Texas, you know that if you're standing outside at noon in July, you might fight over your place in the shade. Nobody fights over a place in the sun. Right? Nobody says, hey, you're standing in my sunlight. Why is that? Because there's way more than enough sunlight to go around. Right? John says, in Jesus Christ, there's way more than enough light to enlighten, to bring light, to bring hope, to bring peace, to bring eternal life to every single person who receives him, who believes in his name. That's the good news of Christmas. That's what Jesus came to demonstrate and to do. To shine God's light into a dark world. And so again, as we look at John chapter 1, really simply, Jesus is born to shine God's light into our darkness. Jesus is born to shine God's light into our darkness. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas means. Is that God saw you and me mired in darkness. And said, I want to offer a way out, a way toward the light of God's grace, of God's forgiveness, of an enduring relationship with him. And it may be this morning you have already trusted in Jesus Christ for eternal life. And so you know that the light of God lives in your heart. But what I want to encourage you to do then is if you've already trusted in him, spend today, spend tomorrow, in thanks and in praise. As you drive home, you're gonna see Christmas lights around town and in people's houses. As you see those lights, you just say, God, thank you that you didn't leave me in darkness. but you gave me your light. It may be that you're here this morning and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ. It's really simple to do. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again to offer forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. Once you do that, you can know that you have the hope of eternal life. And the hope of eternal life is the hope of a life of truth and light and joy forever and ever. And so if you've not trusted in Christ, you can come talk with me or one of our staff members you saw up here, or really anybody you know that is with you this morning. Jesus Christ came to shine God's light into our darkness. That's what we celebrate. That's what we sing about. He's who we worship because he is the light of God and our eternal hope. Would you pray with me? And then we're going to close in song. Father, thank you so much for your word. We are so thankful for it. Most of all, this morning, we're thankful for Jesus Christ, the light who came so that we can know who we are and know who you are and know how we can know you. He came to bridge the gap between those of us who dwell in darkness and you, our eternal God and Father, who dwells in unapproachable and everlasting light. We thank you that Jesus died and rose again. Lord, we thank you that 2,000 years ago, this baby was born in a manger to bring life to the world and light to our world. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.